meditation comes from the Micah, the 7th chapter. We've been preaching through the minor prophets. This is our final sermon in the minor prophets for a while. And it starts out, "Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit." "That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. And the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up."
"The best of them is a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn edge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh now. Now shall be blessed.
Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom.
For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house.
Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me."
"Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me."
"I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now she shall be trodden down as the mire of the streets."
"Who is the God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy.
He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Dear Father, there is nothing like your word. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know us. You know who we are, and yet you choose to be with us anyway. You know us. You know who we are, yet you choose to call us to yourself. You know us, yet you love us anyway. You know us, you care for us anyway. You know us. Thank you for your loving mercy. Thank you for your amazing grace. Now today, Lord, let us together worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us today celebrate your goodness and grace. You, Lord, are so very, very good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Helping us to, what do we know? What is it we know? And the fantastic thing is that you look into the Word of God. You look into the Word of God and you see God knew. You look into the Word of God and you see God understood. You look into the Word of God and you get it. And as we are hooked up with him, as we are attached to him, we begin to find out more and more and more of the truth. We begin to understand more and more and more of what's going on. We can see the beauty of our Savior. Can I borrow you? We'd like to introduce to you a new person here. And she is just so wonderful and beautiful. But you know, there were some things that we could know. As Jackie grew out, we know that inside there was something beautiful. We knew that inside there would be something wonderful. And we know that this little Hannah, this wonderful promise of God, this magnificent child. In fact, all of these magnificent children were something that we could depend upon because of the goodness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, we just ask that you would bless this child. This is not our formal dedication, but I can't wait. I can't wait to praise God for the blessing that she is, and ask that her mother and father would be able to raise her in the fear and admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You might be seated. So, in Micah, this has been an amazing thing because Micah is talking about how do you deal with all of these messed up people? How do you deal with all these folks that haven't really gotten it right? How do you deal with the person in the mirror when you discover that you're not all that you thought you should be? And a question comes up. How do I survive this? How do I keep going in the midst of all of this? How do I do this? And we're going to start the 7th chapter. And Micah, this may be his voice speaking here. He says, "Woe is me. For I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits, as the grape gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit." In Israel, the people would go out and they would harvest a crop. And they would harvest this entire crop. But they had a rule that they couldn't go back and pick up anything that they missed because that was for the poor and the needy. And this person here is saying, "I'm the poor and needy. I recognize that I'm in need. I recognize that I want something from God. And yet they didn't leave anything for me. There was nothing left for me. They took it all. There was no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit, but I wasn't getting any." You know, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes we feel like there's nothing left for us. There's no more for us. Verse 2 says, "The good man is perished out of the earth. And there is none upright among men." There's nobody that's doing it right. There's no fair people around anymore. The situation that I find myself in doesn't seem to make any sense. It just isn't working. "There is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man, his brother with a net. They're going to take advantage of every situation. They're not leaving anything. They're hunting each other in horrible ways. And I feel just like a prey, just like something that's being chased, something being cornered. Sometimes this world feels like we're being boxed in. Sometimes this world feels like we're not going to be able to make it. Sometimes it hurts. We just can't wait until the next crazy thing happens. Verse 3, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. I mean, they're getting good at doing evil. They're getting good at hurting each other. They're getting good. The prince asketh and the judge asketh for a reward. Seems like everybody's on the take. Everybody's trying to get over. And the great man, the one that we all look to as an amazing person, that great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. He's just trying to get what he can. So they wrap it up. The best of them, the best of the people around me. I just the best of them are like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchmen and the visitation cometh, now shall be their perplexity. You can be sure that those are going to get what they deserve. You can be sure that God is not overlooking this. He's not missed anything. You could be sure that he knows. I know how it feels. I live and breathe. I know how it feels. I know how it hurts, but it's not going to end this way. But we've got to be careful, it seems, doesn't it? This is a frustrating way to live. You kind of want to just live naively and just believe everybody's good and everybody's going to do the right thing and everybody's going to treat you right and all that. But the Bible says, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Someone is supposed to show you the right way. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. You can't tell it all, even to your most intimate companions. For the son dishonoreth the father, breaking the commandments. The daughter riseth against her mother, breaking the commandments. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. When you can't even trust those that are in the same shape that you are. Therefore, for that reason, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I recommend you do too. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. See, that's your answer. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. You know, in our frame of thinking today, waiting is such a passive thing. I'm there twiddling my thumbs, just waiting for something to happen. But we need to have a more biblical thought about waiting. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting allows God to do his thing. Sometimes you have to step aside and let him do it. Sometimes you have to step aside and believe that he will. Sometimes you have to step aside and understand that he is in control. It's not about what you can do. It's about what he will do. It's about what he said he will do. It's about the power that he has. We serve an all-powerful, omnipotent God. Don't we believe it? Because if we believe it, then we can wait on him. Wait on him. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation, the one who delivers me, the one who saves me, the one who changes me, the one who fixes me, the one who helps me, the one who protects me, the one who keeps me, the one who loves me like none other can love me. I will wait upon God of my salvation. I believe this. My God will hear me. I can pray and he will hear me. He's told me, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to me. I believe that whosoever shall say unto his mouth, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall have whatsoever he said. It's not because of the power that's innate to the person, but it's a power that's innate to our God. Amen. The one that we are hooked up with, the one who has all the power, the one who cares for us, the one who loves us, the one who's working in us, that God, him who loves us. Amen. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. I'm not worried about my enemies. I'm not worried about Satan. I'm not worried about him. I don't spend all my time worrying about what he's doing. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, did you notice that? When I fall. It's not if I fall. It's when I fall. We all make mistakes. We all do some on purposes that are stupid. We all do things that don't work out. But I can trust. I can trust that my God will keep me. Oh, mine enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be light unto me. See, God even provides me water when I need it. You know, sometimes we miss some of the most very basic blessings we have. You know, my wife is a very basic blessing. Your wife is a very basic blessing. Something that you can count on, something that you know that works. So mine enemies can't rejoice when I fall because I shall arise. I may fall, but I'm not going to stay there. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. His word will speak to me. His word will light my life. And when I have my life lit by God, I will let my light so shine among men that they see my good works and glorify my Father in heaven. We're all about glorifying our Father in heaven. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. I know that sometimes God chastens me. Sometimes he wants to straighten me out. Sometimes he has to turn me over his knee and spank me. The Lord chastens every man, every woman, every child he loves. if you never suffer anything from the Lord, maybe you're not his, and you need to get that straight today. Maybe that's what you ought to be thinking about. Do I need to give myself more completely to God? Do I need to confess my sins? Do I need to get that straight with him? Because I just seem to go on and do stuff and I don't even feel guilty. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. Isn't it wonderful? The very one that you've sinned against is the one who says, I'll take the punishment for that. It's all paid for. The very one that you have worked against, spoken against, acted against, that very one is the one who steps in to love you. Now, he wants you to understand when you're at odds with him. He wants you to understand when you're not doing it right. He wants you to understand that. He's not going to save you if you won't admit where you're at. One time I was in my backyard when we first moved here, and I decided I would burn trash outside and nearly burnt down the neighborhood. And I'll never forget, there was a Wyndham firefighter was driving by, and he happened to have the truck with water on it. And he stood, and he put his hands on his hips, and he said, "Well, do you think you want me to help you?" It was a humbling moment, you know. It's like, no, I don't want you to help me. I'll get it myself. And then I looked around, and the field was going up in flames, and I said, "Yeah, I guess I would like you to help me. Would you please help me?" Sometimes we look around, we see our lives going up in flames, and we want to do it ourselves. We want to fix it ourselves. We don't want to recognize that we are in need. We're going up in flames. We're burning, and we need help. I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, "Where is the Lord thy God?" So often in our society today, people look at us like, sure, there's a real God, sure. Well, I can't see it in your life. Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes will look on that person now. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. Look at Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, starting at the 21st verse, I think. Then men shall say, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord God of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. For they went and served other gods and worshiped them, gods whom they knew not and whom he had not given unto them. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against this land. Sometimes it feels that way for us. To bring upon it all the curses that are written in this book. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath. God did it. Sometimes we miss that God does some of these things. And in great indignation and cast them into another land, as it is this day, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And it shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. He wants to set you free and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. If any of thine be driven unto the outmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. Sometimes we feel like we're in obscurity. We're lost and nobody really sees us anymore. And we're trying to get back to some place that feels right. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it, and he will do the good and multiply thee above thy fathers. He's capable of giving you more than you could ever imagine. Let me skip over to verse 11 in chapter 30. Verse 11 in chapter 30. For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. What I'm telling you is not some strange thing, guys. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither it is beyond the sea, that thou shouldst say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh thee. It's close. The word is close to you right now. You could hear the word now, but the word is nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day. This is for us. I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee. Not a physical land he's talking about. For us. Let's go back to Micah. Let me pick it up at the 18th verse. Because we need to stop after we've heard this, after he's put good before us and bad before us, life before us and death before us. Which one are you going to choose today, huh? I know for me, I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose my God and Savior. Verse 18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? If you have sinned, there's only one person to go to be pardoned. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He wants to show us mercy this day. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. All my sin into the depths of the sea. One evangelist said, he cast them into the depths of the sea and then posted a no fishing sign. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob, and mercy to Abraham. We're the children of Abraham if we believe, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from days of old. Let me end this by just going through a few scriptures that I think you'll appreciate. Psalm 103. And I believe it would be the 12th verse. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what the blood of Christ did for us. Jeremiah 31. And they shall teach no more every man, 31, 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Isaiah 43. In Isaiah 43, it says in verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. He wants to cleanse you of your sins. This is his will for you. This is his desire for you. Will you receive that today? And let's make sure that we end up here in the New Testament. Acts 3, the 19th verse, because this is kind of like our part in this thing. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Now, I want you to understand, you say you have no sin, you make him a liar, and the truth is not in you. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. This isn't the first time any of you have heard about Jesus. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God have spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto thee, Father, the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. That's Jesus. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yeah, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, and as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Listen to this, please. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. Today, in spite of the stuff that you've been in, today, in spite of all that has gone on in your life, God is plainly saying to you, repent. Plainly saying to you, I paid the price for your sin. I'm not doing it because you have earned it or you can earn it. I'm not doing it because I feel sorry for you, although I do have compassion on you. I'm doing it for my glory. Let the glory of God be seen in this place by you repenting of sin and receiving the free gift of grace provided by Jesus Christ. It's a free gift today. Will you have it? Would you bow your head with me? Dear Lord, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for what you have done for us and to us and through us. And we're just thankful, God. You've answered the question that we ask you. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to live justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Today, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. He wants to change us this day. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, help us to change. Help us to receive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.